view here, and then we'll get through this section tonight, and we'll be done. We won't begin a new chapter tonight. We'll be in chapter 6 next week, hopefully, Lord willing. Verse number 1, last week we looked at the meeting of Aaron and Moses and Pharaoh. And this would have been a very terrifying circumstance for Aaron and Moses, for sure, to stand before the ultimate power on earth at the day, the strongest military might of the day. And so Moses and Aaron stand before Pharaoh, and they do exactly what God had commanded them to do, and they go in the message and the authority of Jehovah, the true God. And the message was simple, that they would go and worship God. That they would go, God said, go to the wilderness, take my people to the wilderness and worship. And we looked at last week the response of Pharaoh when it came to worship, and how Pharaoh, his perception of worship and God and is so different than obviously ought to be the Christian's perspective of worship and God. Pharaoh looked at worship as nothing more than a waste of time. He says in verse number 4, and the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works go you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. The idea there, and we can't miss it, is that Pharaoh was afraid that the freedom and the worship of the Hebrews would end in rebellion toward Pharaoh, that the worship to the true God would only strengthen their heart and strengthen their courage, so that they would come back and they would be a different people. And I think there's a truth here that we can look at to help us, because I'm not sure how you see worship, but worship is a big part of the Christian life. And we see it throughout Scripture when we even look at a worship service, you know, singing hymns, prayer, reading the Bible. All of these things are biblically based, or scriptural, in how we worship God and how we are encouraged and strengthened. And we see this in the early church. We see it throughout the epistles, the letters written to churches. And so worship is a big part of the Christian life. And obviously God sees worship, and Pharaoh or the world sees worship differently. I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 10, if we could turn there. Hebrews chapter 10. And in the book of Hebrews, we don't know the writer of the book of Hebrews. Some have said it is Timothy. Others have said it's Paul. I mean, from the just theological perspective, the writing of the book of Hebrews is very similar to Paul's writings. You compare it to especially the book of Romans, very similar. But you know what? At the end of the day, God, he lets us know what he wants us to know, and we don't know who is the writer. We know God is the author of the Bible. And there's a problem with these believers, because their lives are in a mess. And we read in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 23, the writer says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner or as the lifestyle of some are, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It's interesting, when we look at church history, it seems like we've done the very opposite of what God has commanded the church to do. And we see that Pharaoh refers to Israel not as a people, not as a family, but just more workers, just more mere workers in his kingdom. And this obviously is how the world views people today. Now, in verse number 5, again, it's a fear that's leading the conversation, and Pharaoh is afraid that this worship would grow hope in the hearts of the people. And so we find this cruel response in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 6. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people of their officers, saying. And so the children of Israel had Jews that were other children of Israel that were in charge of groups of people. And these were the officers that were in charge of a group. And the Bible says that they were given, that those who are in charge of individual groups of Hebrews, the Bible says they were given a command. And the command was that they would not be given the materials that were needed to make the bricks that they needed to make. But this is the thing we have to understand, is they still had the same quota. They still had the same demand. Less materials, less opportunity, but still the same demand. And I want us to understand that what Pharaoh was asking the people to do was almost impossible for them to complete. This was an impossible task. And this was just an excuse to place burden upon the people and to punish the people. Pharaoh knew it was impossible for them to do this. Pharaoh knew that this was not something that they could accomplish. And so sometimes the devil will do this in our life, is that he will make our obedience look something foolish to us or to others around us. And the devil often does that. He doesn't want us to trust in God, and so he makes trusting God foolish. And so the command that God told, remember, this was not Moses, this was not Moses' idea. This was not Aaron's idea. This was God's plan. This was God's purpose. God said, go and stand before Pharaoh. We read about this in the very early parts of the chapter. And he says, and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And this was not a command. This was a message of battle, of war. You know, this was a message of war. We're going to war here. You're going to let my people go. It was a demand that was given. And so someone has said Satan can inflate the cost of obedience in our lives. In one of the commentaries I read in the ancient world, especially in Egypt, bricks were made from mud, from clay, from water, from straw or chopped up plant fiber. And the straw acted as rebar in the concrete to hold it all together. And so this was what one writer said. It was calculated cruelty, harder work, same demand, an impossible task that would have to be completed. Verse number 8 says this, and the tail of the bricks which they did make theretofore, he shall lay upon them, ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. And so the perspective of Pharaoh was that they were lazy because they wanted to worship God. And that was the label that he had placed upon them. Now, I mentioned last week that the world often calls Christianity or faith in God or believing in God a crutch in our life. And from the perspective of the world, Christianity is not a crutch that is made up to hold us up, but it is a life that we live where God's strength does hold us up and empowers us. And the testimony of Christians is not that it is a crutch per se, as the world would present it, but as a strength that helps us and encourages us and keeps us moving forward. I don't know how many times I've gone to hospital beds beside people who had not many more hours on this earth to live, or going to homes in the middle of the night where someone had just said goodbye to a loved one. And I can't tell you how many times that they have told me, people have told me, I don't know how the world can do this without God in their life. And so God makes a big difference in our life. And the perspective of the world is, of course, that God is a crutch or God is a weakness, but he is our strength and our encouragement to help us. The Bible says it in Matthew 26. I gave the illustration of the woman who had put the ointment, the expensive ointment, on the feet of the Lord Jesus, and how the disciples had called that a waste. Their perspective was that she had wasted this. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Now we know, as we compare scripture from scripture, that the main disciple that was pushing that agenda was Judas Iscariot. But the reality is that people even look at tithing to a church, and they'll say, "You're giving to a church. You're wasting. You're wasting your money. Or why do you do that?" And you know, it's the perspective that we have as Christians, that it's not me giving money to the church. It's me investing in the work of God. It's me giving to God. And our perspective changes as our mind is renewed. And so we look at our life and we look at the two voices that are given. Even the world calls the preaching, the preaching of the cross is nothing more than foolishness to the world. And the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness." The world looks at the idea of church and, you know, unsaved people, they don't tolerate the idea of church if they don't submit to the conviction of the Spirit of God. The reality is that to them is foolish. Why in the world would I stand there and let a guy tell me what to do? And by the way, our perspective is not, you know, Pastor Burns telling me how to live my life, but he is rehearsing what God says. And if you take the message, any preacher, if you are taking it as the words of men, it will never impact your life. It will never change your life. And, you know, as long as the preacher is in the book and he's rehearsing what's in the book, then that authority, God's authority, is what you have to follow in your life. This is what God says, "Thus saith the Lord." And this is where we get this false accusation in verse number 9, where we see that more work is given, increased responsibility, and the perspective here, the perspective of Pharaoh was that he's punishing vain words, that they are listening to empty talk. And this, of course, is the message of Aaron and Moses. But remember, Aaron and Moses was coming with "Thus saith the Lord." They were coming with the message of God. And so Pharaoh's perspective was, is that if I can keep them busy, then they're not going to listen to this foolishness anymore, this foolish talk anymore. And, you know, someone has said that busyness can become a weapon in our life. The devil can use it to keep you distracted. You know, on Sunday mornings, I've added the idea of reflection when we pause and the piano plays and we take time to pray. And I just think in a busy world, there are some people that drives them crazy to be still for that amount of time. It drives them absolutely crazy. But I think it's important for us to be still and to know that he's God, and to take time and to evaluate our life, and to take time to pray, and to pause in the busyness of our life. And so busyness can be a weapon. If we're not careful, the devil can use it to distract us from what we ought to do. And so we come to the next point here, and that is oppressive orders. And so the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and so those who were in charge of groups of individuals in Egypt, Hebrews in Egypt. And so they were also Hebrews, but they were in charge of others. And their job was to punish them for not completing the work. And so these officers, they come to Pharaoh and they say, "Hey, listen, we have a problem here. You are being unreasonable in your demands. You are telling the people to do something they cannot accomplish, they cannot do." Now, would you agree with me that it is unreasonable to ask someone to accomplish a task and then to punish them for not accomplishing that task, knowing in your heart that they cannot accomplish that task? You would say that's unreasonable, right? You can nod yes. That's unreasonable. That That's crazy to do that. Can you imagine me telling my children to do something, me knowing in my heart that they cannot accomplish it, and then to punish them for not doing it? That's craziness. And this is what Pharaoh was doing. And so Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord." And Pharaoh said, "Thus saith Pharaoh." This is where we left off last week. Two voices, two authorities, two kingdoms. Now, I do want to explain myself because as I closed off last week, I talked about the persuasive voices that we hear in our lives each and every day. And we are bombarded with opinions. And I used the scripture in Romans 3 verse 4 where the Bible says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar." And I made the statement that we are to follow the authority of God in our life and not "thus saith Pharaoh." And you can put the idea of Pharaoh on whatever you want. It's the world's perspective. But I want to be clear in this because I think it's important for us to know what the Bible is saying, because all of us have opinions today. And I think what separates an immature person from a mature person is to have a conversation with someone that has a differing opinion and still be civil. I think that makes a mature person, to be able to accept that, hey, someone else doesn't agree with me. That makes a mature person. And we all have different opinions. And in life, we have opinions. I mean, I might say I like McDonald's, and you might say I like Burger King. It doesn't really matter, though, because they're both going to kill us. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we have different opinions. And those opinions are fine. We can disagree. We can agree to disagree that this is what you like, this is what I like. And even in the Bible, we read about this. We read about the difference of opinion and conviction. And in the Church of Corinth, they had conviction. These Christians who had just come out of idolatry. And so they had just left idolatry, and there was meat that had been used in offerings to idols, and they had refused to take that meat and to eat that meat. And Paul lays out for us so wonderfully in the Bible how an idol is nothing, and that we know that idols have no power and have no substance, that there is one God and one true God. And then he makes this statement. He says, but as a little Christian or a young Christian, he says, if that is their conviction in their life, Paul says that if I eating meat would cause them to stumble, he says, I won't eat it, because their spiritual maturity and their spiritual life is more important than what I want. And so that was Paul's perspective when it came to opinion and conviction. But we all have opinions, and we can agree and we can disagree. And that's what makes life wonderful, is to be surrounded with people with different opinions. But that's not what we're talking about in this idea of two authorities. I'm not talking about, you know, the world as in, you know, the world's opinion on who's going to win the Super Bowl. I don't even know who's in the Super Bowl. So here's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, if anything is contrary to God and his word, then the authority that you follow is always God. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so we can have opinions, but our opinions end where God's word begins, because God's word has the authority in our life. And so this passage here gives us this principle of two authorities. And so the Bible says in verse 12, so the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt, together stubble instead of straw. And so Pharaoh had just removed the supply for the Hebrew slaves in Exodus chapter 5, verse 7. And he did not reduce the brick quota. So now Israel was forced to make the same number of bricks with worse materials, under greater pressure, with no extra time. They had to go out and look for worse materials to complete the job. This was an impossible task that Pharaoh had given them to do. And this was punishment that he had given to them for their obedience to God. And so we notice that Egypt also, or Pharaoh, had broken their unity. The Bible says that instead of working together, instead of hope and prayer and fellowship, the Bible says they're now scattered. They're scattered among them, and they are not standing strong, but desperately looking for scraps to meet what Pharaoh had commanded them to do. And I think one of the things that he tries to do, obviously Satan tries to do in the life of a Christian, is to isolate them. I think Christians, we are to exhort one another. And so much the door, so much the more as we see the day approaching. And that's not just you exhort me, but the idea there is to be exhorted and to exhort and to encourage. And so they were forced to scatter across the land. The Bible says in verse 13, and the taskmasters hated them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks. And when there was straw, and the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today as heretofore? And so they were falling behind in the work they had to do. This was just an impossible task. The cruelty of Pharaoh's system is on display in this passage of Scripture. And so this is indeed the worst kind of bondage, to be commanded to do what cannot be accomplished. By the way, this is the bondage of religion. Religion is that I have to work to be accepted of God. But there's no amount of work that you could ever accomplish on this earth in this life or the next life that would ever allow you to enter into heaven. It is an impossible task. This is the worst kind of bondage. And Jesus addressed this in the book of Matthew. So then we find an appeal. In verse number 15, the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh. So those who were in charge of the Hebrews, their own people, they stood before Pharaoh and they said, why are you dealing with us this way? You are unreasonable in your dealings. In verse 16, there is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. And he said, ye are idle. You're idle, therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. And so here we could say the foreman, they finally stand before Pharaoh and they say, hey, this is not right. This is not fair. And they're pleading for fairness here. And they're being punished for something that isn't their fault, is what is stated here. And we see Pharaoh again answers with a cruel accusation. He says, you guys are just lazy. You're idle. You're idle. And you're not overworked. He says, you're lazy. Get the job done. Get the work done. And so he also adds in verse 17, look at this. Basically, he says, that's why you want to worship God, is that you could get away from your work. And so this is how the world treats anyone who wants to walk with God. And, you know, it's interesting. The world will say, oh, you know, a Christian will live their life and in a godly manner, living their life, not perfect, of course, but trying to please God with their life. And the world will look at them and they'll say, well, you know, you need prayer, you need God, you need church, or all these things. They'll say, you're weak, you're escaping. You're using this as a crutch, religion as a crutch. And, you know, it's sad when you look at the world, because how's the world doing without God? I mean, look at our world today. It's a mess. And we are weak, and we do need God. And that's the step, the first step of the Christian life, is to understand our need for God in our life. And so here's what Pharaoh is saying, and I think we need to understand it in our text here. What Pharaoh is saying is the problem in your life, this is what he's saying to the Hebrews, the problem in your life is God. You want to go worship God, you're lazy, your problem is God. God's not your solution, God is actually the problem. You know, it's interesting, in 2022, I know that's several years ago, But Global News reported a survey that was made in Canada. And I'm not sure how many people they surveyed. The survey didn't tell, or the article didn't say. But the survey revealed that many Canadians see evangelical, you know, gospel preaching Christianity. This is what the survey said. They see evangelical Christianity as more damaging to society than beneficial. That's how the world sees Christianity today. And of course, most recently in our news today, government officials have debated reducing religious exemptions and hate speech laws. This would, of course, make it illegal to preach and teach portions of the scripture, which is crazy. And we also see it in the death, I think, of Charlie Kirk. You know, we can debate his politics and even debate some of his theology, which I didn't agree with all of his theology. But one thing is for sure is that anytime you saw one of his rallies, Charlie Kirk never left unless he gave the people the gospel. And he wanted them to know that God, that his son Jesus was the way for hope and peace. And he always left the people with that message that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And it was a simple invitation and a simple gospel message. And it was sad to see how people rejoiced over his death. And I don't think it's because they hated Charlie Kirk personally, because the vast majority of people that said things about him didn't really know him. They didn't meet him. They didn't talk with him. They don't know what he was like personally. But I would say that they most likely hated the message that he preached and the message that he was representative of. And it really does remind me in the book of Revelation, we talk about some eschatology of the two witnesses that are presented in the book of Revelation. And the Bible says that these two witnesses, they preach and teach in the world for 1,260 days. That's 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And they are preaching the gospel, and they're preaching truth. And in Revelation chapter 11, in verse number 3, the Bible says, and this is prophecy, it's forthtelling. This is what will happen. The Bible says that they will die, they'll be killed, and many will celebrate their deaths. The world will celebrate their deaths. In fact, it's interesting. The Bible says that people will exchange gifts in celebration of the death of these two witnesses. And I think that we understand that the reason why that they were so hated was because of the message that they preached. The message is what made them angry. And Pharaoh is saying the issue is you're lazy, your worship of God. Your God is your problem. Remove your God and your problems are solved. This was his attitude. And this is the attitude of the world. This is what the world, how the world sees Christianity today. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 5, verse 18, go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall your deliver the tale of bricks. In other words, these things will not be given, these helps will not be delivered to you, but you will still have the same demands that are going to be upon you. In other words, someone has said this, that verse 18 are brutal words from Pharaoh. He's basically saying, I know the task is impossible, but do it anyway. Get it done anyway. And so the officers in verse 19 had come to the place where they realized that there was just no hope. Here's what the Bible says. They were an evil case. That was their perspective, that there was no hope for them to win over Pharaoh. And so they left, they walked away with no hope. We see the painful truth in verse number 20. The Bible says, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, and as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servant, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated his people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. God, why did you send me? I didn't make things better. I just made things worse. And you could see why he would have that attitude. Things are not improving. Things are falling apart. And so he's honestly praying to God here as Pharaoh tightens his grip his control over the Hebrews. But you know, one thing is for sure. We know that God is at work. And even when we can't understand and we don't understand what God is doing in our life, sometimes we stand for truth, we do what is right, and it feels like we're taking three steps backwards and two steps forward. And we wonder, God, what are you doing? And I want to remind you that it is always right to trust God and to follow his way. You know, I just say this, trust God and leave the outcome with him. Obey God and leave the outcome with him. It is important for us to follow the Lord and to do what is right. I want to leave you with one last thought, and this is a freebie. You know, one of the reasons why I'm not a Calvinist, and there are many, but one of the reasons why I'm not a Calvinist is because I look at the attitude of Pharaoh here, who said, this is what you have to do, even though it's impossible to do it. And we all agree that would be unreasonable for anyone to do or say. Well, to believe that God elected people before the foundation of the world and then commanded them, whosoever will, to call upon his name, knowing that they are unable or incapable of doing it, is not the God of the Bible. That is the Pharaoh of Exodus chapter 5. And that is not the God of the Bible. And so just a thought to think about. Chew on that for a little bit as we continue our study here. All right, let's look at our prayer bulletin here.